All of us would agree that storms can be both threatening and terrifying. Severe storms can be deadly, causing catastrophic damage, including the loss of life. Yet experts tell us that the key to surviving storms is to have a plan of action, that is, to be prepared, and then to remain calm in the storm. I want to talk this morning about the calm in the storm. That regardless of the storm you may be presently experiencing, you will survive because the calm is in the storm. The eastern and Gulf coasts of the U.S. are prone to experiencing extreme weather conditions. The Atlantic hurricane season officially begins in June of each year and runs through the end of November. We all know that. We're all too familiar with that. We live here in South Louisiana. This is a season when tropical cyclones develop in the Atlantic basin and travel across the ocean, making landfall anywhere from the middle eastern coast of the U.S. to the Gulf Coast region. These cyclones can travel at speeds of up to 20 miles an hour, with wind gusts and speeds from 75 to 200 miles per hour, wreaking havoc, causing destruction and dangerous tidal surge. This region is also prone to severe thunderstorms and tornadoes that can occur indiscriminately. We're all too familiar with this. German philosopher and theologian Paul Tillich, in his studies in existentialism and existential reality, that is, our human experiences, remind us that storms existentially the natural part of the human condition, that within the cycle of life and death, we are born into an environment, an atmosphere, if you will, where storms are a natural occurrence affecting all humanity. Meteorologists and those who study atmospheric conditions and phenomena define storms as disturbances in the atmosphere that causes changes in the weather. I'll say that again, I don't believe you got that. Storms are disturbances in the atmosphere that causes changes in the weather. Atmosphere here is defined as airspace, sky. As we gaze up into the heavens, we look through the atmosphere. In the book of the beginning, the book of Genesis, one of the first acts of creation is God dividing the upper firmament from the lower firmament, creating the atmosphere. Spiritually, atmosphere is defined as the pervading tone or mood, a place or a situation. That your home environment is an atmosphere. Good or bad, peaceful or otherwise, your home atmosphere your home environment is an atmosphere. On your job, you experience an atmosphere, whether it's productivity or hostility, it is an atmosphere. And for my young people in school this morning, even at school, there is a pervading atmosphere. For the last hour or so, last few minutes or so, we have been engaged in an atmosphere of worship. As believers, as Christians, we ought to walk daily in an atmosphere of fellowship and communion, not only with God, but with one another. That just as storms arise in the natural, so too do storms arise in the spiritual. And these are disturbances in the atmosphere, places and situations we find ourselves that cause changes in our lives. Health storms, emotional storms, financial and marital storms. These storms are seemingly interruptions in our spiritual lives that distract and interfere with our spiritual connection with God. That at one moment all is well. And without warning, a storm can arise, disturbing our spiritual peace, relationship with God. Let me put a pin in it right there, because if you don't have a relationship with the Lord this morning, when the pastor gives the invitation, I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus, the pardon of your sin, that you ought to come to this altar, have a relationship with him. These storms, spiritual storms, that is, may seem devastating. Sometimes they seem overwhelming. But unlike these storms, the storms of nature which destroy, spiritual storms come not to harm us, to build our endurance, to strengthen our faith and trust in the Lord. Spiritual storms challenge our character and have the ability to determine our destiny. Why? Because there is purpose in the storm. God gets no glory out of our destruction. And Jesus has already declared that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, have it more abundant. So I would submit to you this morning, greater viewer, that spiritual storms have purpose in our lives. God gets no glory out of our demise. That unlike the storms of nature, spiritual storms come sometimes to discipline us. For whom the Lord loves and chastises. God at times has to discipline us, to bring us back into a right relationship with him. And other times God sends storms into our lives to redirect us, guiding us to the place and places that he has called us to. You remember the story of Jonah? Jonah had been given assignment by God. That of going to Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah booked passage on a ship bound for Tarshish. While at sea, the Bible says a storm arose, which caused Jonah to be thrown overboard. But awaiting Jonah on assignment from God was a great fish that swallowed him up, taking him back to Nineveh, the place of his assignment. That God sometimes uses storms in our lives to redirect us and place us back on the path that he has assigned us to. Spiritual storms have purpose in our lives. Our text this morning tells us that in life, storms will arise. Sudden, unexpected storms. Uncontrollable storms. Storms that overwhelm us. Cause us to fear for our lives. Storms that test our faith. That try our trust in God, who is always with us. The Bible tells us that he never leaves us. That he never forsakes us. That he is ever present in our lives. In theology, that means omnipresent. That God is everywhere. At the same time. And at the same time, God is everywhere. This is one of God's divine characteristics. That God is omnipotent. All powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing. possessing all knowledge, and he is omnipresent. He's always with us. He is everywhere at the same time, and at the same time, he's everywhere. That he can bless me while he's blessing you. He can attend to me while he's attending to you. All at the same time. That God's divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. There is no place where God's knowledge, God's power, God's love, God's mercy and grace does not extend. If I ascend into heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in the depths, God is there. He is with us in the storm. With us as we pass through the storm. And even after the storm, God is with us. He is the calm in the storm. David would put pen to paper in the 46th division of the Psalms. And I like this. Expanding on this thought by adding that not only is God with us, but he that is God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That there is no situation, no circumstance, no trial, no tribulation, no storm, that God that can arise, that God is not with us. For he is the calm in the storm. Yes, he is this morning. Though the seas rage, the winds roar, God has the power to bring you out of your storm. God allows storms in our lives for a purpose. To lead and guide us, to correct and discipline us, to bring us into the purposes that he has designed for our lives. Storms have purpose for our lives. You will get through your storm. You will make it to the other side. Secondly, if God invites us to go over, we cannot go under. The text begins by saying, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Let's, in the English language, is an imperative. The contraction of let us. An imperative is an authoritative command announcing a precondition that must be fulfilled, a prerequisite to any other event taking place. That if God invites us to go over, we cannot go on. The vision in this passage this morning of the disciples and Jesus, along with other boats, out on the Sea of Galilee, inundated by the waves, helplessly blown about by the winds, remind us that even though storms arise in our lives, if God has invited us to go over, we cannot go under. Well, the boat might take on some water this morning. Might look like you're about to drown. But if God invites you to go over, you cannot go under. Jesus here gives a personal invitation to the disciples to accompany him to the other side of the lake. I want to put a pin in it this morning, pause just long enough to say that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, I want to give you an invitation this morning to come down to this altar when the prayer is given and receive what Jesus has done.